God's inspired, inerrant, authoritative word. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our good and gracious Father, on this Thanksgiving Eve, we ask that you not give us into deception, but help us to remember that every good and perfect gift comes from your hand, the Father of lights in whom there is no shadow of turning. Continue to transform us into a community of exuberant praise as we recall that you have blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. By the power of your Holy Spirit, may it be our natural inclination to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances, knowing that this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. According to Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 3, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build. And it just entered into my mind that we could add to that, there is a time to eat, and a time to fast. We could also add a time to remember, and a time to forget. Unfortunately, we often forget when we should remember, and remember when we should forget. Far too easily do we remember how we've been wronged in the past, and we remember that wrong with great, colorful detail. And we remember how we were wronged 3 days ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 years ago, sometimes 3 decades ago. We should be like the woman who was reminded on one occasion of how a good friend betrayed her. And she said, "I specifically remember forgetting about that." And we should remember that that's how God treats our sins. He has, as it were, divine amnesia. In Jeremiah 31:34, God says, "I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." And think about the day of judgment when we stand before God and we might be trembling because of all our sins. And what a relief it will be when God says, "I don't remember any of those sins." We also need to forget everything that stands between us and our relationship with God and pursuing that relationship. There is great counsel that comes from Philippians 3:13-14, where Paul says, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Sometimes we need to forget what is behind so that we can strive for what is ahead, for what God is calling us to do. And too often we don't do that because we're so worried about how things have turned out in the past, or what's happened in the past, or how we've been hurt in the past, and we need to be intentional about forgetting about those things, letting those things go and saying to God, even today, maybe even tonight, Lord, what are you calling me to do? And to focus on that and to move ahead and to leave the past behind. Whether we were hurt by something that happened in the past, or whether we had great victories in the past, or whatever, it could be good, it could be bad, it could be ugly, whatever. Maybe we need to leave that behind and focus on what God is calling us to do today and move forward. So sometimes we need to forget. We need to move on. And if you need to hear that, my advice is forget. By the power of the Holy Spirit, forget. Let it go. Turn it over to God and move on. So there's some things that we need to just forget and leave behind and bury. Then, of course, there are things that we need to remember. And that's where Psalm 103 is so helpful. And a question I have for you, this psalm, and we're told right at the beginning that it's a psalm of David. He is saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget," or excuse me, "and all that is within me, bless His holy name." David is the author of this psalm. And who is he talking to?
Himself.
Isn't that great? Some of you are very encouraged by that because you like to talk to yourself and you feel like you're kind of weird. David is talking to himself. "Bless the Lord, soul. All that is within me, bless His name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." And I really do think that that's right. He's talking to himself. And then he goes through this long list of all the things that he should be blessing God for because of all this, these great blessings that he has. And then in verse 20 he says, "Bless the Lord, O you His angels." Isn't that great? He's talking to the angels. "Bless the Lord, you angels." And I don't know why he's doing that, because they always bless the Lord. They don't need to be reminded to bless the Lord. They do. We sing that every week in the doxology, and I always think we're calling upon the angels to praise God. They're looking at us. We're praising God. How about you guys down there? But be that as it may, "Bless the Lord, O you His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying His the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion." And then the last line, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then he comes back to himself, reminding himself, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And he's basically commanding himself to do two things, and we see it in verse 2. He's calling upon himself to bless the Lord, and number 2, to not forget all His benefits. Bless the Lord, don't forget all His benefits. And I think we could really put both of those together and just say that he's saying, bless the Lord by not forgetting all His benefits. That's how we can bless God. That's how we can praise God. That's how we can be thankful, by remembering all the blessings, all the benefits that we have. And there's a long list here, but let's just look at a few of them. Verse 3, "Who forgives all your iniquity." Why do you think he starts there? Because that's the greatest blessing. "Who forgives all your iniquity." If you're in your Bibles, turn ahead to Isaiah. And this is a great passage. It just kind of fell open on my desk when I was studying this afternoon, and I almost preached on it, kind of like one of these, what should I preach on, Lord? And but it really is a great passage. Isaiah 12, verse 1 says, "You will say, in that day," and of course you have to ask, in what day? What does that refer to? So to find out what that day is, you have to go back a little bit to get the context. And this is what we read in Isaiah 11, 1. "From there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse." Does anybody remember who Jesse was? Jesse was King David's father. Ben, don't be afraid to say it. "From the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord." Who is that talking about? Not a trick question. That's talking about Jesus, absolutely. Come on. That is talking about Jesus. This is talking about the coming of Christ. So then when we move ahead to verse 12, and you will say to me, in that day, when Jesus comes forth from the stump of Jesse, you will say to me, in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Why? For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Because when Jesus Christ, He's going to die on the cross for our sin. The big word here is become a propitiation for our sins, which means turn aside God's wrath, God's anger from us. So because of the death of Christ, God isn't angry with us anymore. He forgives us. We're adopted into His family and He comforts us. And because of that, we give thanks. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say, in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Proclaim His name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. So what do we have to be thankful for? We have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And if God does nothing other than forgive us because of the life and death of Jesus Christ, we have enough reason to be thankful for all eternity. With that blessing, with that benefit alone. So the psalmist starts there because it's one of the greatest blessings, the greatest blessing when you put it all together. Then he goes on and he says, who redeems your life from the pit. That's a great picture, isn't it? Who redeems your life from the pit. It's before you became a Christian, you were in a pit. You were stuck. Your life was a mess. But God reached down and He delivered you from that pit and He put your feet upon a rock. I love what Paul says in Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. He says, therefore, remember, it's important, that's a command, remember. In the Bible, we need to remember that sometimes forgetting is not an excuse, it's a sin. Okay, the fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What happens if you don't remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? You sin. So remembering is very important. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done by the body with the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Twice we're told to remember where you were before you became a Christian. Remember where you were when you didn't have God, when you were without hope. Now, I know some of you grew up in the church, so perhaps you can't think of a time when you weren't a Christian. But if you can remember a time when you weren't a Christian, think of the difference God made in your life. And I told this before, but I remember one time when I was part of a Korean church, we went out after a Bible study and we would go to Baker Square and we were sitting around a table. And I remember just asking, if you weren't a Christian, where do you think you would be today? And it was sobering and sometimes funny as one by one we just went by and we said, well, if I wasn't a Christian, I think I'd be doing this. And if I wasn't a Christian, I think I'd be here. Or if I wasn't a Christian, I don't even think I'd be alive to this day. Whether you can remember when you became a Christian or not, where do you think you would be right now, today, if you didn't know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Where would you be? Just realize you've been forgiven and your life has been redeemed from the pit. Your life might not be perfect. It's not perfect. You probably still have troubles, but realize how blessed you are just to have God in your life. That alone is a tremendous blessing. And then number five, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Who satisfies you? I remember one time we had a Thanksgiving Eve service, and it was one of those where we just said, let's just take time. Who would like to say something that they're thankful? And we just went around the room, and I remember one guy saying, I'm thankful for the fact that I'm thankful. Even the fact that we can be thankful is a gift from God. It's fascinating. Who satisfies you with good? Do you have any satisfaction at all in life? Where does that come from? Even the fact that we can be satisfied with the blessing that God gives us, that we can be content, even if we're not perfectly content, even that comes from God. Even that's a gift from God. And how wonderful that we have someone to give thanks to. G.K. Chesterton said one of the most terrible moments in the life of an atheist is when he feels genuine gratitude and he has no one to give thanks to. We have someone to give thanks to express our gratitude towards, which is healthy. One pastor said gratitude is the healthiest of all emotions, and we could probably debate whether or not that's technically true, but that really did get me thinking. I really do think it is healthy to be a people of gratitude. As parents, we know if we're going to raise healthy children, they need to learn to say thank you. When Christmas comes and they get a gift from their grandmother and it's black socks and they're not all that excited because they wanted a video game, not black socks, they need to still be able to say, thank you, grandmother, for the black socks. I can't even wear them when I play basketball, but thank you for the black socks. I can wear them when I go to church, I guess. But we know that's important, not just because it's proper and it's respectful, but we know that is a healthy attitude for kids to grow up and to be thankful for what they have. An attitude of ungratitude, that is not a healthy attitude. That's a problem that something is wrong. And here's the thing, as Christians, it's easy to have that attitude of gratitude. We know that everything we have is a gift from God. This is a great verse, 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you did not receive? You pause right there. What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Everything we have comes from God. My prayer, I made reference to James. Do not be deceived, my brother. Every good and perfect gift is from where? From above. Every good gift we have comes from God. So we should say thank you, thank you, thank you all the time. It really is the healthiest of all emotions. And whenever we turn away from that and take for granted what we have, we are moving in a bad direction. Before the Israelites entered into the promised land, God warned the people that they might inherit all these great blessings, houses they didn't build and vineyards they didn't plant, and they might think that it wasn't a gift from God. They got it all themselves. They're entitled to what they have. And whenever you have an attitude of entitlement, which is the opposite of an attitude of gratitude, you are in trouble. So this was the warning that was given to the people before they entered into the promised land. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. But remember the Lord your God. See it? Remember. Don't forget. It has come from God. Thank God. Praise God for what you have. I think one of the reasons why America became such a great nation is because it was founded upon gratitude. 1620, the Pilgrims came over to America, 102 passengers, roughly 30 crew members. We don't know the exact number. Do you know how many didn't survive the very first winter in the New World? 45 died. I'm trying to remember how many died on the way over. There was at least one, maybe just one. And then 2 years after that. So roughly in the time that they were here in the New World for 3 years, half of them dead. They didn't survive. You've got this small little group of pilgrims. But God did provide for them, and they had shelter, and they had food, and God was rescuing them from disease. And you know what their first inclination was? We need to thank God. We need to praise God. This is what William Bradford said. Original source. Please don't read the revisionist history. Go back to the original sources. Governor Bradford of Massachusetts, made this first Thanksgiving proclamation 3 years after the pilgrims settled in Plymouth. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as He has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims with your wives and ye little ones do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Plymouth Rock, there to listen to ye pastor, and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all His blessings. I think it's wonderful. They came over here. Half of them were wiped out. Their wives, their children, relatives. But God was providing for them. And their natural inclination was to give thanks to God. And because of that, I think God blessed America. But what's the danger when God starts to bless you? You forget where the blessings came from. So move ahead about 230 years. April 30th, 1863. President Abraham Lincoln. This is his proclamation for a national day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, and that's power with a capital P, to confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Pilgrims, thank God for how He provided, and God did bless this nation, and it did grow in wealth and power and security. But it seems that we have turned away from God. That was 1863, and now move the clock ahead 150 years or so, and I think we've continued to forget God and all that He has done for us. And it seems like a simple thing, but it's a very important thing that we gather together and we thank God for His blessings. It really is. That we just say thank You. You know, reading through the Psalms, it's interesting. God says, cry out to Me, and I'll answer you, and then you will glorify Me. I think God is basically saying, I'll make a contract with you. Whenever you're in trouble, you cry out to Me, and then I'll deliver you. And all that I ask is that you say thank you to Me and praise Me, and by doing that, you'll glorify Me. Isn't that a wonderful deal? Cry out to Me, I'll answer, you say thank you, and then I'll be glorified. But sometimes we're too proud. But let's remember, it may seem like a simple thing that we're doing this evening, but God really is pleased when, like the one leper out of the 10 who were cleansed, we come back because we have to say thank you. Such an important thing, isn't it? It's an important thing, but it matters. You know, this afternoon I went out to lunch with Sergio, and he paid. Came back, and I had my leftover BLT, and I ate it, and I thought, did I say thank you? I don't know if I said thank you. So Sergio, I want to say in front of everybody and on tape here, thank you for paying for lunch. But it is, isn't it? I mean, it's a reminder. Just say thank you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we want to gather together this evening and we want to say thank you to you. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the new lives that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for lifting us up out of that pit, out of that former way of life. Father, thank you for all our blessings. They all come from you. Our satisfaction, our ability to even enjoy your gifts, even our thankful spirit, it all comes from you. Father, forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for thinking that we are something special and that we are entitled to the gifts that we have. We're not entitled to anything except judgment. So, Father, forgive us for not remembering the things that we should. And, Father, accept our sacrifices this evening of thanksgiving to you. In Jesus' name we pray.